Well, again, thank you for being here in during this Advent season, this time of preparing our hearts for Christmas. You know, there is a popular phrase among some church people. Some of you may have used it, some of you may have not used it, but the phrase says something like this. It's like, oh, you know, God showed up. Now, theologically, God shows up all the time. But I think in our humanness, when something good happens, we would like to say, oh, you know what? God showed up. It was a great youth group meeting. God showed up. We had a great Christmas festival. You know what? God showed up. And we talk about it as if God only shows up at a few times or in a few places. But in reality, God is showing up all the time, every time. And as we think about this season of Advent, I think it's important for us to be thinking through, you know what? God is showing up. And today we're going to remember how God showed up in the life of Mary. Now, for some of us, I think we have thrown Mary out with the bathwater, if I can say that, because some of our traditions are it appears to be that we don't want to elevate anybody human, and so we don't elevate Mary. And other traditions pray to Mary. And so, like many of us, when we respond to something, we just throw it all out, realizing that in this situation, oh, we can learn a lot from Mary, even though our tradition does not pray to Mary. And so it is easy to understand, you know, God has shown up. Look throughout the scripture. Look in the First Testament, you know, the Old Testament. And we see that, you know, God showed up in several places. You know, obviously in the Garden of Eden, God was there. And he was there when Noah built the ark. And he's there when Moses split, God split the Red Sea for Moses. But, you know, God showed up. Now, I don't know if they said that in the Hebrew, but we would say, you know what, God indeed showed up. And in the New Testament, and even in the Christmas story, we know it all from the Gospel of Luke. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the fields by night, and the angel of the Lord came upon them. You know what? God showed up. And to Elizabeth, Elizabeth was Mary's sister. You know, God showed up and there was John the Baptist. And Mary, in our story, God shows up through an angel. And Mary responds. And so again, during Advent, let's be just thinking about how are we responding. And yet, let's also, you know, basically let's, you know, cut to the chase. You know, the bottom line is that when God shows up in our lives, are we there with our mind and with our heart to respond to God's calling on our life? And I would venture to say that for most of us, we're not there as we should be. So again, people, Advent, it's not just a tradition. It's not just a time to start decorating your house, but it's an intentional tradition to slow down our pace of life and to be intentional to connect with God. And you know, that could be by walking through our prayer garden in this season. We have prayers posted throughout there about the different Advent themes. You can pray at your own home and you can get that God time at home. Now, when I was little, I would stare cross-eyed at the Christmas trees, and that just does weird things. And my mom always says, don't do that. God's gonna make you stay that way. I don't think that's medically correct. But it sure created that space for me. So, you know, go home and look at your Christmas tree. You know, you don't have to look cross-eyed, but, you know, dim the lights, you know, light some candles, get your favorite beverage, and I'm not telling you what you should and shouldn't have as your favorite beverage. You're an adult. You can make that decision. But get some time with God. Because before you know it, it's going to be New Year's Day. And what happens New Year's Day is most Americans take down all their Christmas decorations. And you think you're off to a great start because, you know what, it's the second. And everything's put away. All back in the boxes and the house is back to normal. And so again, as we prepare for Advent, let's be sure that in this broken world, and not just when our lives are going good, but even when the stuff of life hits the fan, let's be sure that we've slowed our pace down enough to listen to God when God shows up. Let me pray. Lord, while some people here have heard these Advent messages over and over, and for others it's really maybe some of the first time that they have heard about peace and joy and hope and love, I pray that you will help us at least here in this place to start to slow our pace down and to take that from here into our everyday routines. I know, God, for some people, they have sung this passage that I'll be speaking on. And for others, they've heard it once in a great while. So I pray, whether we have heard it over and over or for the first time, that you will use it to move us closer toward you, that you will use it to point us toward you. And so I pray that the thoughts that are floating around in the minds of these, your people, and that the words that I share this morning will be acceptable in your sight, because you are the God of hope. You are the God of peace. And it is through your Holy Spirit that you still speak to us today. So do so in a way that brings others closer to you, so that the world will see and experience you in a new way this season. Amen. The bigger Bible passage that I'm focusing on today is found in Luke. So it's Matthew, Mark, Luke. And it's first chapter, verses 28 to 55. But it's important. I'm not going to read all that, so relax. Some of you who are the math majors are going, oh my gosh, look at all those verses we're going to have to listen to. Relax. I'm going to read a part of it, but it's important to understand it. Mary's song, the song that choirs have sang, that some traditions sing every Sunday, that in order to understand Mary's song, that we understand that, you know, a few things happened before she burst into praises to Jesus and to God. But that, again, an angel visited her. And an angel said that you are going to be pregnant, that you are pregnant, and that you are going to be delivering the Son of God, the Redeemer of the entire world. And again, the people of Israel have been looking for this Redeemer their whole life. And the angel tells Mary, you're the one. And where we're going to start reading is Mary's response. Now, I would have had some other responses, but Mary's response is found in verses 46 on. So let me read those to you. And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down the rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and all his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. Folks, this is, again, Mary's response to the angel saying, you are pregnant and you are going to deliver the Savior of the world. And her response just comes rolling off of her tongues as if it was just natural. And it was. She didn't say, let me think about that. She didn't say, my dad is going to have a different response than me on this. But she just naturally talks about all these wonderful things about this Messiah that's coming. And while, again, she's been told all this good news, and she rejoices in that news, but yet she could have also have been discouraged. She could have been scared, because really, in her days, those type of circumstances were not reflected upon well. You know, people were very much ostracized if she was pregnant. And again, she was betrothed. Did I say that right, Ryan? Betrothed? Okay, which is really, and again, I try to think through that so we would understand it. It's as if she was married, but there was no intimacy yet. So basically, I would think in our context, that would be like you had the wedding service, you're married, but you haven't gone away for your honeymoon yet. So that's really, she just wasn't engaged to Joseph, but they were hitched. They were a couple. And for her to show up pregnant would mean something happened, a little out of sync. And so again, she could have responded out of, you've got to be kidding me. You got the right person here, angel. You know, there's a lot of Marys. I mean, there's a lot of Marys around here. Maybe it's another Mary. But no, she was the chosen one. And then this morning, I am just going to bring on just a couple, no, three things, really, not two. Three ways that Mary responded to the angel that we could learn from in our response to God's calling on our own life. The first is that Mary models for us that her mind and her heart, that they were just saturated with the scriptures. She knew the scriptures. And you could just imagine that she was just rifling through these promises of God. She really alluded to Psalm 103, to Psalm 22, to Psalm 44, to Psalm 90, to 98, 147, and to Psalm 25. She's also pointing to 2 Samuel 2, and the list continues. I mean, she didn't pause. She didn't say, oh, let me Google that and give you a list of praises to God in difficult situations. Or let me figure out, and it would be more in her, let's find, no, they didn't even have the scrolls. You know, let me go talk to the priest who will tell me what to say to you. No, she just rifled off scripture. And let's face it, for me, memorizing scripture, oh, that happened a lot easier when I was younger. I don't know if it was my time or my mind or maybe a little bit both. But I think I could be wrong. In Sunday school, we expect our kids to memorize scripture. That's just what you do. And yet as we get older, again, this could be confession. I could flip my collar around and we could be confessing. We don't always feel the need to memorize God's word. It's like, you know what, we're beyond that in our life. And, you know, I can look it up. I can Google things now, so I don't always have to memorize it. But again, for Mary in a tight situation, when God comes calling, she knew God's word. And I think for each of us, and I think that's a take-home point for us, that what are we doing to memorize God's word. Now, in my newsletter you'll get on Thursday, I'll have a link for you that if you click on that, it's a Bible memorization link. Now, there are many of them out there. We get no money for me promoting that. We don't have a stake in it, but it's just another tool. I know back in the day, some of you are old enough, we would have little flashcards and this little plastic thing that we would memorize scripture with. And when chemistry got boring, I would memorize scripture. And when I flunked out of chemistry, I would memorize scripture. And so nowadays, you know, let's go the electronic way. So you're going to get that in the mail on Thursday. But again, I just, Mary shows us that memorizing, getting it in your head, helps us to respond to God naturally when difficult situations arise. The second thing is that Mary shows us a heart of humility. Folks, an angel just spoke to her. Now, if that was me, I'd make sure everybody knew, and I would back up whatever I'm going to say, that it was an angel, and it would be, listen, God's spoken to me. And yet, Mary, in verses 46 to 48, there are examples of her heart of humility. Again, for hundreds of years, the people have been waiting for the Messiah, and now, guess what? She has the Messiah. She is going to deliver it. But again, her humility in verses 47, my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. Referring to, again, you know what? Even though she's going to deliver the Redeemer, she's still giving God the glory. And she was fully aware that she was a sinner. Mary herself needed a Savior. And it doesn't take too much for each of us here, no matter how long we've been in church or how little we've been in church, that we really do need a Savior. In verse 48, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. You know, despite this huge, wonderful news, Mary is humble enough to realize, I still need a Savior. I am still a sinner. I don't have my act completely together. And then finally, in the third point, is that from everything that has happened, we see in Mary just a heart of thankfulness. We see it from the very beginning in verses 46 to 49. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now and for all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things. Again, you know, Mary had every right to be walking on a cloud, so to speak. I mean, I have not had an angel speak to me. I don't think. Folks, you know, can that still happen? Yes. But to me, that has not happened in this way that it's like, you know, I'm going to be delivering the Savior of the world. I mean, I would be pretty scared. Why me? Are you sure there wasn't somebody better to do this? You know, she was single. She was in her early teens, at least most of the research says. So sometimes when we think of Mary, we think of maybe somebody in her 20s, you know, couldn't get married, finally got married to Joseph, and, you know, God's having a pity party and says, here's this baby, and he's going to change the world through you. You know, it just wasn't like that. It was an early teenager that became pregnant. And again, people, let's be real. If that happened to somebody in this church, you would be asking me, Pastor, who do we refer the real serious people to for a psychiatric counseling. Because something's happened here and it's not normal. And what's so exciting is that going back to God showed up, folks, when God shows up, it usually isn't normal. Something miraculous is going to happen. Something is going to change, and sometimes that change is in our own heart. And the way some of us are, as stubborn as some of us are, when God shows up and speaks to us, our heart changes, folks, that is a miracle. And you know that. Your spouse knows that. Your kids know that. That God still does show up and change people. Again, for Mary, she was prepared, but she still doesn't fit. She just doesn't fit what you and I would even send God to. She was a peasant woman, poor, in her early teens. She wasn't a ruler. She didn't have any clout anywhere. She didn't have any pull. And yet God uses this everyday person to change the world. He rocks the standard of the culture by, again, choosing a woman to do something spectacular. Her heart was ready. Coming from Michigan, we had to be ready for some things, like snow blizzards. And so you had to have a kit in your car. And the kit was a blanket, a candle, because if you're stuck in a snowstorm, a little candle could heat up a car. So you had to have candles, the flashlights, extra batteries. You had to have a radio, a battery-powered radio, just in case. In case the car went off the road, you just knew, where's your kit? And wait there for someone to come and get you. Here we should be prepared for earthquakes. Now I have seen those kits. I have read what those kits should contain. Do I have a kit? Nope. I have my cell phone. And yes, I know it's not gonna work when the towers go down, but it's like, Lord will take care of me somehow. Okay, so I should be more responsible. Trust me, when just a little one shakes, I'm thinking, where's the kit? I need to be prepared. And the same thing is, and back in Michigan, you know, there are these four-legged creatures called deer. And they think they own the land. Even though we plowed these wonderful expressways through the middle of their homes, they take it back. Even when you're not expecting it, all of a sudden there's this deer in the road. And we're prepared. And some of you who have lived in that, you don't swerve, you don't brake, you just hit the deer. Okay, and if any of you are, what would be the, not animal lovers? Thank you. Yes, you can write Ryan on that. Because if you don't hit the deer, it's when you brake and when you swerve, that's when you hit the tree, that's when your car rolls over, and you become the hood ornament versus the deer. And so, but you just know that. When I visit and they say, oh, just take the back roads to the airport. It's like, those back roads are gonna take me an extra half hour because I'm driving like a person much older than me, very cautiously, because you just never know when those deers are gonna prance across the road and there are so many Bambi jokes and Rudolph jokes. But you just have to be prepared mentally. If it's a deer, just keep going. Advent is our time to prepare mentally. Mary was prepared. You're gonna have a baby, the Redeemer of the world. She was prepared. She knew, it just came naturally from her. She was prepared because she knew Scripture. She was prepared because she had a humble spirit. And she was prepared because she naturally gave thanks to God. And so we need to be prepared for God to show up and knock on the doors of our hearts, to get us to maybe love our neighbor, to get us to actually talk to the person in the cube next to us in the office, to talk to the person in the classroom I'm in. We need to be prepared for God to use us. And Mary's response, this is in the middle of our reading in verse 38. She says, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Now, don't you wish you had some employees like, you know, you say something, they say, "Yes, sir, I'll do that. Whatever you want." You know, that's how Mary was with the angel. "I am the Lord's servant." She didn't give any pushback. She didn't negotiate. She just said, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." And again, it was through scripture, through humility, and through praise that she was prepared to respond to this call of God on her life. So Advent, it's 4 weeks. And yet, before you know it, again, we'll have the house back in order, and we would have forgotten to prepare. And so we just need to be intentional. Intentional to know that God can use us. But am I prepared? Now, none of us are going to deliver the Savior of the world. That's done and happened. Just thought I'd let you know that. But there are still what I call holy moments. Moments when you get this nudging inside. Should you say to the person, "How are you really doing?" Should you invite the person to coffee or to lunch? Should you just calm down and listen to what's being said? That's what our Advent season can do for us as people who follow Jesus. Now, 28 years ago, a songwriter, Rich Mullins, wrote a song that I feel is the modern interpretation of Mary's song. It's a prayer, and it's very simple. And it's just the idea of how do we position ourselves and what is our prayer to God. In fact, when I knew it was 27 years ago because that's when I finished seminary and was ordained, that means given permission from the denomination to be a pastor. And so a friend of mine sang this song. And it's something like this. "Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. I will seek you in the morning, and I will learn to walk in your ways. And step by step, you'll lead me, and I will follow you all of my days." It's a great song. I've been listening to it for over 2 weeks as I've been preparing for this. But I wonder, am I really walking step by step with God? Am I really believing the scripture when it says those who do not know Jesus will spend eternity without him? And so then I think, step by step, he'll lead me, and I will follow him all of my days. But God, I was supposed to be an engineer. That's what I was training for. And step by step, you'll lead me. And I will follow you. All of my days. And Daryl, you're a mechanic. How can God use him to change parts of the world that you and I will never step into? Step by step, he'll lead him, and he will follow him all of our days. But God, I'm in my retirement years. I've already worked at the church. I've given my time and my talents and my treasures. I don't need to do this anymore. Well, step by step, he leads me, and he will follow me all of my days. But God, I'm only 18. What can I do? Step by step, he'll lead you, and he will follow you all of your days. But you know, God, my spouse and I, we gave to the church. We gave to their vision 2020. We volunteered with the kids, and yet my spouse still walked out on me. Step by step, he'll lead you, and he will follow you all of your days. But Lord, I'll never have a 50th anniversary. But Lord, we were always in the church, and yet my child doesn't follow you. Lord, I had other things I really wanted to do. I don't want to accept your call. Step by step, he'll lead you, and he will follow you all of your days. So I think during Advent, we need to listen to God. We need to be in his word. We need to be in prayer. We need to be serving and in fellowship with others to hear how God may speak through them to us. And it's at that point that I can say that we can really embrace what Mary says, that this will become our natural response to God's calling in our life. I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. Step by step, he leads us, and we will follow him all of our days. God's people said, amen. We continue to respond, people. We continue to respond. Our worship just isn't listening to me speak. Some of you are thinking amen to that. But it's really a response of us. Mary responded in a way we respond. We respond by giving back to God financially, by saying, God, this, everything I have is yours. And take this and use it for your kingdom. We respond by coming forward here or in the back to communion, to remembering the life and the love and the sacrifice of Jesus, because, you know, we really do forget about that. And so we can respond by remembering his love for us. You can respond by going to the back corner. There's a prayer station where you can write down some prayers and our prayer team will pray with you. You can respond by coming forward or in the back to light a candle. Not that there's any strange power in the candle, but that it's a reminder of God's love for you in whatever situation you're in, that he can work through you and in you to make his light shine. And so as the ushers come forward, I invite us to continue to worship in a posture of prayer and of singing and how God may lead you.